Well, look, we're in chapter 6, beginning in verse 11 of Ephesians, and we're going in to tonight to speak about and learn about spiritual warfare. And the fact that when we are born again, we enter the Lord's army, and we're in the Lord's army now. And you remember that old song, "You're in the army now, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ball." You don't remember that? Oh, sure you do. You little, yeah, there you go. We're in the Lord's army. Well, well, there's a story about little Johnny who was at his first day at school. And the teacher advised the class that to start the day with the Pledge of Allegiance. And he instructed them to put their right hands over their hearts and repeat after him. And so he looked around the room as he started the recitation. He says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag," when his eyes fell on little Johnny. And he noticed that Johnny's hand was over his right bottom cheek, okay, down here. And he said, "Johnny, I can't continue till you put your hand over your heart." And Johnny's really embarrassed, but he says, "Sir, it is over my heart." And after several attempts to get Johnny to put his hand over his heart, the teacher asked, "Well, why do you think, Johnny, that is where your heart is?" And he says, "Well, it's because every time my grandma comes to visit, she picks me up, pats me here, and says, 'Bless your little heart.'" And so my grandma wouldn't lie. And I'll tell you, we've all learned this as being Christians, that God has a wonderful plan for our lives in Christ Jesus. He loves us. He wants to bless us. But the moment that we enter into Christ, we've chosen sides, you see. We've chosen against the side that we were on, and that was the enemy and the world, and it becomes literally, not that he wasn't always our enemy, but he really becomes one who is after us. He can't take us to hell because we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We learned that. We're saved eternally. And we have an advocate in heaven who's always pleading our cases before the Lord. But he is certainly trying to short-circuit us in our walk with the Lord. If he can make us ineffective, if he can frighten us, if he can discourage us, if he can get under our skin, distort things, or cause us to be deceived in some way, that is enough for him, you know, to cause no more fruit to come out of our lives because of him. I remember a Far Side. Do you remember Far Side comics? And it was a cartoon that Larson put out where several deer were talking to each other. And one deer is talking to another deer. And this deer has this big red target, you know, on his side, right where, you know, right over his chest. And the one deer, he says, "Oh, man," he looks at him, he says, "What a bummer of a birthmark you got there," you know. And that's us. We're here in the battle. The target is on us because Satan hates us and wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has not left us defenseless. He has left us with armor to put upon us. And this whole armor of God is what's spoken of beginning in verse 11. And we're here, we're called to stand, it says, against the devil, to take a stand. It is the Lord who does the work, like everything else. It is the Lord that does the work. We are to stand. We can't defeat the enemy on our own, but when we take the armor that the Lord has given us, we're able to stand in that day. And these weapons and this armor that we put on is things that are activated by our faith. They're activated by our faith. And we're going to see that here in a second. One commentator said of this passage, the tactics of intimidation and insinuation alternate in Satan's plan of campaign against us. He plays both the bully and the beguiler. Force and fraud form his chief offensive against the camp of the saints. And so we're told in Scripture that we're in a spiritual battle. And we can be ignorant of that at times, even though I would think I'm well aware of spiritual battle. I'll have one slip in there, and I'm not really identifying it yet. You know, it takes me a while to figure out, wait a second. This is, we had one right before the men's retreat. I had this big blow up. Wait a minute. You know, I didn't see it right away. But I again, it takes faith to even see it. And I started to look at, this is spiritual warfare, because the devil doesn't want this person to go or this other thing to happen, you know. And so we see that, you know. And so our general, if it be God, our general commands us in this verse, you know. It says, first of all, let me read it. Oops. There it is. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, when it comes, it doesn't say if it comes, when it comes, we all get days of evil. They are in the plan of God in our life. He'll allow it, that those things to happen. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. See, to stand. That's that place. One day we will stand in heaven, be able to stand because we lived for the Lord. We're not perfect. We've been born again and we've been faithful and we've believed up until the end, and we will stand before the Lord. Others will not be able to stand. So stand is that a place of strength in the Lord, in right standing. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Where did I put that? There it is. Which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, notice, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord, we just pray that you would show us, Lord, what you have for us tonight about this aspect of the Christian life that is true whether or not we participate. It is true. It is happening to all of us, Lord, whether we have a fine victory or whether we fall before it, or in even those who can stand in your power and in your strength in these things. And we pray, God, we'd all be able to enter into the battle that is before us, because it is a good battle. It is a worthy battle. And may you bless us, Lord, with the withdrawal to understand and to completely give you all of our life in this matter. In Jesus' name, look at verse 11 with me. Put on the full armor of God, right? So, hey, you know, we're called to arms. And we're going to see in verses 14 through 17, it'll be explained what these things are, but notice the emphasis on the whole or full armor of God. God has given the believer a full or whole set of equipment. And he has not set us out into battle without everything that we need at our disposal. And there's no armor for the back, we'll see here. There's nothing for the back. Because why? You're not to run away from the battle so that your back is exposed, but you are to stand, you see. And so all the armor is on the front, as you'll notice. He's given us this. And we need to stand up and face him because he will not let up until we do. I remember back in the old days when I was not much of a fighter, tell you the truth. I was big, but I was not much of a fighter. And you'd have these bullies after school that would, you know, you're walking home and they want to fight you or whatever. And I remember when I was really young, I would just go up into a ball. I would just curl up into a ball and the guy's punching and all that kind of stuff. And you just kind of wait for him to get tired and then he gives up, you know. But you know, spiritually, you can't do that. You can't do that with Satan because he never gets tired. He's not going to let up on you until you fight the battle. And you have to, and the way we're going to fight the battle is this very thing, this full armor of God, to put it on each time. This armor is of God, both in the sense that it is from him and in the sense that it's his actual armor. It's God's armor. In the Old Testament, is the Lord who wears the armor. And now he shares that armor with us in the New Testament. And we know that during the temptation of Christ in the desert, our Lord, remember, displayed the same armor that he now commands us to wear in order to defeat our foe. And it would be a worthy thing tonight to read that account again of Jesus being tempted and his answers towards the devil. And so, you know, because of that, we're more than conquerors, the Bible tells us. For our struggle, verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. It's not against people. It's in another dimension. The spirit dimension. It's not something oftentimes that you can see. Most of the time, it's not, that's your, not your struggle, something that you can see. It's something that you don't see that is there nonetheless. And so it requires faith, all of this this armor that we're to put on. And, you know, it's one of those things. The armor is our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. When's the last time that you prayed, if ever, against the powers of evil and the spiritual forces and principalities? You see, when have you ever, you know? It's not, most Christians don't pray that way, and we need to start praying that way because that is really where the enemy is in these things. And so people will say, well, you know, this guy, he's an unbeliever, and we don't know how we're ever going to, well, I really want to see them get softened towards the gospel. Pray against the principalities. Pray against the spiritual realm that is keeping him with blinders on. You know, or sometimes we might pray, well, Lord, just please, just open his heart, you know. And that was the way I prayed for years back in the day until I learned to enter into combat with the right forces and go directly after them, after the spiritual forms and the spiritual rulers that are causing this to happen. I think about Israel now, and I really am blessed how they've approached this war with Iran. And if you've noticed, they're not going after people to kill people. I mean, like, you know, innocent people that are the people of the land. They're even telling them where they're going to bomb. So get out so they can get out. And they're saying this is not against the people of Iran, but this is against the leadership, the evil leadership that are making these decisions, that hate Israel so much that they want to develop this nuclear bomb to be able to use it on Israel. And so what did they do? They went right to those people. And amazingly, and this is what we've seen in God, the Gaza war, that God was causing and allowing great power to come upon the nation and their military. This is something God is involved in, I believe. And he is enabling them to be very, very effective. Matter of fact, it blows everybody's mind that Israel could pull off what it did. And it's one of those things. They went after the head of the snake. We need to go after the head of the snake as well in our prayer. And we're going to see that more and more. What in whom we are battling, you know, are the spiritual forces of darkness in the spiritual realm. And it's not against flesh and blood, you know. How much of our prayer life is about flesh and blood? You know, we go right there, well, this person is such an idiot. And Lord, just take them out of my life. Or they're causing me so much trouble. Just keep their mouth shut, Lord. We're missing. You know, we're praying in a very weak manner when we're praying, because we're taking it as the flesh and blood that is there, not about the demons that are causing them oftentimes to be deceived or to have, a blindness about them, guys. And that's where increasingly we need to be in prayer. And this is what it's showing us here, because we're going to see there's only six of these, of this armor, but then they include prayer at the very end, which I'm just calling that the seventh one, because it is so, so important. We're in a war, guys. And 2 Corinthians says about this war in chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down, check it out, strongholds. What's he talking about? Strongholds. Those are the demons and the strongholds that Satan has through his minions up in the strongholds, the places that are affecting us. Maybe it's affecting America, you know, to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to come against those strongholds in our prayer. That's who we're fighting. And so we see these other areas. And so let's go ahead and look at verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after that you have done everything, in other words, you're with the Lord now, to stand before him, you see. And so he says, put on the full armor of God. So when that day of evil comes, did you know there's a day of evil coming? It's not talking about just the tribulation times or anything like that. He's talking about a day of evil. I've had many days of evil come into my life. How about you? You know, some of you have had your houses nearly burned down, right? Some of you have had violence done against you. I mean, a lot of things. Paul just went through, and Dee went through a car slamming into their garage and into their car and totaling their car and pushing the inner wall, crushing it, and he's drunk. It wasn't Paul, though. Not this time. No. But that's, you know, that's spiritual warfare, all of that kind of stuff. And so, guys, most of it is defensive here that we're going to see. But the goal of the battle is to stand your ground on that day of evil, to be able to stand. Paul doesn't really have the idea of us hunting out and pursuing demons or being ghostbusters or anything or pursuing evil to deal with it. But God wants us to be able to stand on that evil day. And we stand and we use this armor to protect us, you see. And we can only stand when we're equipped with the armor that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And each aspect of this symbolic armor is an answer to a specific dynamic in the Christian life that enables us to stand against spiritual attack. Here's the symbolism. The symbolism that we're going to see here is the attire of a Roman soldier. Remember, Paul was at this time, when he wrote this, he was in the custody of Roman soldiers. It was easy for him to look at the equipment of his guards and see how God has equipped the believer, and he used that as an analogy. And the Roman soldier wore a belt, he wore a breastplate, he wore shoes with iron nails in it, he had a helmet to protect his head, and he carried a great shield that was covered over in leather that could be watered down so that fiery arrows, he could put them over him and it would extinguish those arrows as it stuck into that shield. And it would be thrown over the front of his body to protect him. Roman soldiers were, in these centurions especially, were just awesome soldiers. They were the special forces of that day. They were trained to be able to protect and kill everything within a 6-foot by 6-foot square. You could not enter into it and live. These guys had every ability to take care of anything in that area. And he was the most awesome warrior of the time. And his main weapon was a double-edged sword, a machaira is the name of it. And it was a shorter sword. It was for, close combat. It wasn't a big, long one. And it was a double-edged sword. And so these represent the Christian spiritual armor. And commentators have noticed that there's 7 pieces of armor that were given, and most of it is defensive, right? 2 are defensive as well as offensive. And that is the sword of the Spirit and also prayer. Those can be used defensively or offensively. One commentator has noted that there is no armor for your back, right, as we talked about, because he doesn't expect you to run away from the battle, but he wants you to stand and face that day of evil that comes upon us and comes through our lives and stand in the strength of the Lord, okay? And so the order in which the pieces of the armor are described is the order in which the soldier would put them on. First of all, look at verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And so we begin by being buckled up with the belt of truth. And King James Version says, gird yourself, girding yourselves with the truth. It's the truth. And this is the first thing that a Roman soldier would do is they would, before they're going into battle, they would gird himself with that truth, with that belt. And everything would hang off of that belt. It was very, very important, that belt. And also when they would move in battle, they wore long robes, right? And they would, you would trip over your robe if you didn't have that secured. And so they would gather up the bottom and they would put it through that belt and they would be able to run without falling and tripping. And so the belt was very, very important. And so it was a sash that would go around the waist and excess material above the sash, you know. And so Paul mentions this first because it's the first thing that's necessary for us in our conflict. And notice what he calls it. Put on, stand firm with the belt of what? Truth. Truth. It's all based upon that. You know, they say, buckle up for safety. Buckle up. Remember that one? He loves my songs. He just smiles right there. Well, you buckle up with the belt of truth. The first thing necessary in that spiritual combat is that you know the truth. That's why you're here at Bible study. When everybody else was already, it's all, Sunday is all finished, and then there are those that will come to a Monday night Bible study or this Bible. They're wanting to hear the truth. You're wanting to be built up in the truth. and you come to a church that speaks the truth, that explains the Bible and reads it just like everybody else. And we need to know the truth. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Watch ye, stand fast in faith, in the faith. Be men of courage and be strong." And so faith here is the faith in the truths of Jesus Christ. And we have to have a strong foundation in the truth, or if we're to stand. Guys, listen, if it's just a big phony game, if it's just some religious racket we're in, what the heck are we doing here? It's got to be the truth for me. There is no play on that. There is no, I tell everybody that, but I don't really believe it. No. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. I'd give my life for that truth, wouldn't you? He is the truth. And Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him in 8:31 of John, he says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so Jesus speaks of knowing the truth, and the idea is that the whole body of truth, the whole body of truth, that he rose indeed from the dead. Everything that he teaches is infallible. The word of God is infallible. And we're built up in that, and we can depend upon the word of God to be true, because so many things are unknowns in this life. But we can know what the truth is, and we fall upon it, and we stand upon it. And so all these things, and that's why that belt of truth is there, guys. You've got to stand by faith in the truth of Jesus Christ. He promised that he would lead us into all the truth, you know? And some people, you know, we see them all over the place. They're drawn to every false and deceiving spirit. They just go from one thing to the next, some bizarre doctrine, whether it's barking like dogs, or if it's, you know, gold raining down in the church, or if it's, you know, you can have anything you want. You can write your own ticket with God. Just, you know, send in your seed faith to me, you know, and you can write your own ticket. It's sad what's happening. But there are people that are drawn to this error. And God's saying, no, man, it's the truth will set you free. And so, you know, that's one of the things, that's what's one of the weaknesses of the church is today, and why we lose so many people, and why there are so many people that don't want to be in the church because they say it's hypocritical, because they've seen hypocrisy through it. Peter spoke of the damnable heresies that had crept into the early church, and it's still one of those things that is a plague in the church today. Because we've got to gird ourselves around with the truth. So you've got to study God's word. You must know what the truth is. And it's not some personality that's telling you that you believe it. Remember the noble Bereans who didn't believe anything that Paul said because he said it, until they checked it out in the scriptures and to see if he was telling them the truth. And then they believed it. And Paul said they were noble for that. And you've got to be that way in all of these things. We see these television programs that come on and they're, oh man, they just have this beautiful, happy story at the end and everything is this way. And they're supposed to be representing God. And the feeling of it is enough to deceive so many. We've got to test it by the word of God. I don't want to listen to any of that stuff that's not of the word of God. And when you check it out with the word of God, it's nothing to do with what the truth is. But it's a fable. It's something to make you feel good about, supposedly about God. And oftentimes the cults are involved with that. The Chosen, by the way, that whole series is very much involved with the Mormonism. and Catholicism in those in the terrible doctrines that those both have. And many of the people on the cast are Mormon. And believe me, there is problems with that. And I'm going to tell you can sit there and you can take on and just kind of like, you know, take your glasses off and everything is kind of fuzzy and just watch a program like that. Oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, Jesus just loves us so much, except that's not the truth. It's not that he doesn't love you, but that's not the truth. They're supposed to be going through the books of the Bible and telling you what's in the book of Acts, telling you what's happening. And it doesn't line up with anything. It's a bunch of fluff that never is mentioned in the Bible. And that's why I'm pretty rough on movies that are supposed to be biblical. I'm pretty rough on them because, you know what? I want to stay with the truth. I don't need a movie to tell me what the Bible, I can enjoy what the Word of God tells me. I don't need a movie to make me feel good about the Word of God. Do you understand? And sorry if I stepped on any toes. There may be a lot of people that love Chosen. That's fine, whatever you want to do. But listen, guys, let's get ready and prepare ourselves for the battle. Let's wrap ourselves up in the truth. And, you know, that's what we try to do here on Wednesday nights, is to get into the Word of God. The belt of truth is also something to wrap ourselves in concerning our individual lives in the sense of being honest with God. You know, no hiding, no excuses. Don't hide from God. Don't give him a bunch of phony excuses for things that he convicts you on. Don't take shortcuts. You know, where, you know, you're saying, well, I don't really want to do what God wants me to do, so I'm going to take this road over here. Don't do that. Live in the truth. When you're convicted of a sin, you know what? All you got to do, are you sorry about it? You should be. I get sorry about it. Tell God, I'm sorry for what I did, Lord. I don't want to live that way. And I confess it to you, and I thank you that I'm forgiven. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? That's what the Word says. It's the truth. And you got the belt of truth on, right? Big thing. We live by the Word, guys. So when condemnation comes your way, which is a popular thing that the devil tries to do. Oh, look how worthless you are. Oh, he doesn't love you, and he certainly doesn't forgive you. You've asked for forgiveness for that sin a bunch of times. You know, you think he's going to forgive you now, the 21st time you did it or whatever. You think that's going to really happen? Condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I love that. And you know, it's a beautiful thing that God has for us and what he's done for us. And so there must be a rightness of our motives. There must be based in the truth, guys. And notice it says in verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of, I've skipped over, didn't I? Sorry. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What's the next thing? And the breastplate of righteousness in place. Remember, the breastplate would be covering the most vital organs, your heart and liver and all those things that could be easily wounded if you didn't have a breastplate to help that. And so righteousness is represented as that breastplate that presents and provides an essential protection. Because we've been in Jesus Christ, we've been made righteous. His justification, he rose from the dead so that we might have justification, just as if I'd never sinned at all before God. For our righteousness, he rose from the dead. And what a beautiful thing to know that I've been made righteous before the Lord. And we've got to, again, As we do battle, we've got to have that breastplate of righteousness on, because he's going to come out after you otherwise. Do you believe it? Do you have a firm belief in the truth of your own righteousness that was afforded to you? Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. His righteousness was given to us. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's ours, man. So those thoughts that come into your mind that oppose the word of God, that is spiritual warfare coming your way. You just get this nasty feeling in your head that, man, I am no good. God has got, it hates me. God doesn't love me. I'm condemned. I mean, things are just going to be, God's just got this thing to punish me or whatever it is. Hey, we can take those thoughts captive unto Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians tells us. Take them to him. Cast your cares on him who cares for you, you see. We must do that because it's by faith. That's putting on that breastplate of righteousness. And it also deals with rightness of our motives and rightness of our action, that we live in a right way. Look at verse 15. It says, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And so it's represented by these protective shoes or sandals that were worn by Roman soldiers. And nobody could fight effectively without that kind of equipment. They had these, Josephus described them, the great historian. He described them as shoes thickly studded with sharp nails so as to ensure a good grip. In the military successes, both of Alexander the Great and of Julius Caesar, were due in large measure to their armies being well shod and thus able to undertake long marches at incredible speed over rough terrain. These, you know, kind of like a football full of cleats, you know, football shoes or whatever. And so we have to have this gospel of peace that are shodding our feet. And that was one of those armors that they had. And so readiness is a word which it means a prepared foundation. And so the gospel provides the footing for everything that we do. I had a friend of mine, I'll never forget this. He was at the fair and he was there really late at night, and a group of thugs jumped him in this dark area where he was walking across and started beating him. All of them started beating him up. And all he could think of is to yell, Jesus suffered for you! And the leader of this little ring of thugs said, oh, leave him alone, leave him alone. And they got off of him. And he said, man, and he starts brushing him off and picking him up and said, man, oh man, why did you have to say that, man? My grandma is a Christian, you know? And that had just that power of just saying the gospel was something that prevented him from this beating, and they let him go and all of that kind of thing. And it's just, you know, our feet everywhere we go, shodded with the gospel of peace. I had another friend who went to, he was up at one of those bathrooms that open up those public areas where you can rest going up towards Tahoe. And it was late, late at night, past 2 or 3 in the morning. And he went into this bathroom and to go relieve himself. And as he walks in the door, there's this guy with a pistol, and it's pointed at another man, and he fires it and hits the guy right in the head, and he goes down. And then he comes over to my friend and puts it on him. And you can see in his face, he's like freaking out, and all of a sudden his eyes get as big as saucers, and he drops the gun and runs out. Later on, when he was caught, his testimony was that he had seen the face of Jesus in my friend's face. Supernatural. But you know what he was there for? To lead that man to Christ. that was dying, died in his arms, and he went to be with Jesus. I'll tell you, you never know, but we have to always shod our feet, prepare our foundation, prepare it to preach the gospel, to live in peace in that kind of a way, not trying to hurt people, not trying to defend ourselves, but to love on people, to present them with the opportunity that we once had to receive Jesus Christ and the forgiveness for our sins. Isaiah 52 says this about people with the gospel. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Look at all the things when we have our feet shown with the gospel of peace. Look, he proclaims peace wherever he goes. We're not looking to make people angry or upset or to sow division with people, but we're there to sow peace with people through Jesus Christ. Glad tidings of good things coming out of our mouth. Not a bunch of negativity and horrible talk out of our mouth, but good things that comes out. Proclaiming salvation, it says. Oh man, I love it. Look at verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so this oblong shield, the Roman shield, was about 4.5 feet tall or long, and it covered the whole body. You'd put it up and it was covered again with leather that could be soaked with water, because they would shoot flaming arrows. And so if you had this up protecting you, the arrow would hit the wet and soaked leather and as it went into the shield, and it would just take it out, and it was extinguished. And so those are those things, guys, that we need to be aware of. Those fiery arrows that Satan wants to put into us. Oh, you're no good. Oh, you shouldn't step out in faith. Oh, you're just going to fail. Those things, those thoughts that come into our minds are very, very much those flaming arrows that come our way. But notice the shield of faith not only catches the incendiary devices, but it extinguishes them also. And so we're told, you know, sometimes, and this is something I think in my family, my immediate family, and I've made this mistake. You ever went to tell somebody something that somebody else said about them? And it's hurtful. Oh, and we feel like somehow, I don't know what the psychology of it is, but that, hey, we need to go report it. You know, we're being faithful friends or whatever. No, you're not. You're taking that fiery dart that Satan has and you're hand delivering it for him to your friend. Why don't you just take that fiery dart? You know about it and you deal with it. You pray over that whole thing and throw that dart away. And don't pass it on to your friend, because you're just passing on the hurt to them. And the dart was intended for them, and it's because of you. You see? Take the fiery dart for other people. Take the wound for others, your friends, your loved ones. What good is it going to do for them to hear that? You're going to just cause sadness, right? And you're going to get them in that place where there's a lot of hurt that goes on. And so we've been learning that in my family, to just, you know, take the dart, take the flaming arrow. If it comes your way before it gets to the person that it was intended for, don't pass it on. Just take it and take it to prayer and pray for that person that's doing that, and pray for in the spirit on all of these things. And then in verse 16, it says, listen, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so faith, so much. So important, guys. What are you having faith in? You have faith in the Word of God, in the truth. I don't have faith in me. It's not me. I have faith in Jesus. I have faith in what he's done for me. Do you get it? And so this faith, this truth, this shield of faith, guys, is so very important. Because the devil, your adversary, walks around like a roaring lion, according to Peter, seeking whom he may devour. And so we need to resist him. We need to stand fast in the truth. And then verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And so, the Roman soldier would wear a metallic hat and all that stuff. And he's talking about protecting our minds. Protecting our minds. And one of the places that Satan continually attacks is that spiritual warfare in our minds. To plant evil thoughts. You ever get some kind of just absolute devilish thought? It comes clear out of nothing. You're just kind of doop-de-dooing down there, down the walk of life. You're not looking for anything bad. And all of a sudden, just something that is absolutely evil comes into your thought life. Do you ever feel really bad about that? Do you feel like guilty about it? Don't. Satan can place thoughts in your mind, but he cannot read your mind. Do you understand? He is not omniscient. God is omniscient. He is not God. But he can place thoughts in your mind, and he can do these things. And what we're to do, we have been given the ability, because we're born again believers in Jesus Christ, we're children of God, that we can take that thought captive unto Jesus Christ. And I don't know, maybe you say, well, how do you do that? It's just the way I think of taking it captive. I just think about it, and I'm in my mind, I'm wrapping a rope around it, and I'm taking it captive, and I command it away from me, and I command it to go to Jesus. I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to. And you know what? On nearly every single time, I never think about it again, because Jesus takes it away. Sometimes, you have a reoccurring thing. Keep on taking it captive unto Jesus. Those thoughts that are out of line with God's truth and his revealed word to you. And so listen, guys, I think I'm going to have to stop here because we got to go on. But the last thing I wanted to say, guys, he says, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so we are to handle and wield the word because it's the sword, the Makaira. And so Jesus, every time he was tempted, he took the word and he says, God says this, and he was able to deal with those things with the word and letting God do that fighting through us. And he says in verse 18, and pray, notice, in the spirit. What does that mean? Look what it says, pray in the spirit. What does that mean? Some people would say, a lot of people would say, oh, you have to pray in tongues. It's talking about tongues. No, it's not. You know why I know it's not? Because it says on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. No, tongues are a praise unto God. And you wouldn't know what you're saying anyway, because it's not your language. It doesn't edify you in that sense that you know what you're saying. So it's saying pray in the spirit. Guys, the spirit is what you cannot see. Remember what we were talking about? Start praying against these spirit, in the spiritual realm, against these principalities of the air. Instead of just praying for the physical, flesh and blood, pray for those that are influencing. And I believe that that's what is probably the gist of what he's saying here. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying notice, for all the saints. And so that's where we're going to stop, guys, right there. And I hope, you know, you'll begin to expand your prayer life. You know what I mean? You don't have to know everything to say, but it's just saying, you know, Lord, Holy Spirit, direct my prayers. Direct my prayers. Be the Lord of my prayers right now. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's just, we say it, and as we begin to start out, God will teach us more and more about praying in the Spirit, praying in that effective way unto the Lord and against these principalities of the air. Put on the whole armor of God. What is the first thing? Belt of truth, right? What's the next thing? Breastplate of righteousness. Then what? What? The gospel, the peace, shoes of peace. And then what? Helmet of salvation. And what? The sword of the Spirit, right? And we did the breastplate of righteousness. I'm sorry, breastplate of righteousness. I forgot it. The shield. All of those things, guys, put it on. Think about it, guys, each and every day. See how this week goes, okay? I'd like to hear about it next week, tell you the truth. Was there any spiritual warfare in your life? What did you think about? Did you fall for it for a little while and then, you know, put on the armor and spiritually be able to take down these things? And how did you think about that? How did you reason that out in the truth of God's word? I want to hear next week, okay? Maybe we'll just have a good share time. All right, God bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday.